Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to the Miles Mikulski podcast, where we talk to some of your favorite artists and talk all things music related, mainly hip hop, but you know, you might have to fling in a few things along the way. If you enjoy any of the content, make sure you follow me on socials at Miles Mikulski. Basically, it's in my name. If you're listening to it right now, you'll be able to see my name right there. I ain't gonna spell it out because that's kind of long still, but follow me on socials to keep updated on who the next guest will be in the future. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into another episode of the Miles Mikulski podcast. What's going on, people? You're locked into Miles Mikulski, the podcast, and today we've got another guest who's doing big things right now. He's on a journey, you know what I mean? Since 2020, he's been dropping a project and two singles, and I'm really excited to see the journey this young man is about to go on in the 20s of music, do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, R&B has come back now. A lot of people are invested in it, a lot of people are interested in it. And we've got a new shining light here. So introduce yourself to the people. Let them know who you are, man.
Where do I start? I'm Kamari, and I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I live in LA currently. But yeah, like you said, just put out Drifting, put out Dr. Mize. After taking a year and a half break from Dr. Mize and just trying to figure out where I wanted to go musically and where I wanted to go sonically. And then through this period of discovery of music and art and just a bunch of different things, and ended up where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, we're in central London in Airbnb here, and I feel like this is the power of music. Obviously, you're a bit jet lagged at the moment. You're a little bit tired. You know what I mean?
But we're up though.
Yeah,
we're up.
The time zones are a bit mad difference here. I hear it. And obviously the music has brought you across the world, you know what I mean? Obviously London has become in the last couple of years quite a bespoke spot for music. A lot of Americans like coming over here, sharing their thoughts and opinions with music. The UK has always been very receptive to American music and R&B as well. And for you, what's been maybe a highlight? That's your second time in the UK. Obviously the first time you're fully gonna remember. You've only been here for a short period of time, but what's made you want to come to London in the first place? And obviously you've got a show coming up as well in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So what's made you want to come here and kind of vibe out with us, really?
I mean, we kind of just spoke about it briefly before we started the podcast. Yeah. But I think for me, it's just exciting because hearing about a culture that deeply appreciates music the way that I was kind of brought up to appreciate it. You know, I was excited to be able to be in this environment where I can, you know, get that feedback from people that feel, you know,
the same
way about it. But also just because, you know, like you said, it's a different culture, it's a different place, it's a different, and it just sounded like a dope place to begin this journey.
Yeah.
Coming from Dr. Mize, where I'm talking about wanting to, you know, change the pace and trying to do different things from sitting in my studio in my apartment every day writing music and you know, I think coming to London was a good place to kick off the journey.
100%. I mean, some of the comparisons, I want to go back, but we're going to just stick in the current realm at the moment as well. Some of the comparisons that you've got as you've dropped music, you know, we've seen Frank Ocean be mentioned, we've seen Mac Miller be mentioned as well. And then do those comparisons, obviously they're really big names.
Huge names.
Yeah. I'm trying to guide you in a certain way. But obviously with that, do you like getting compared to those artists? Of course, rest in peace, Mac Miller as well. But do you want to let people appreciate your own music for you and then develop?
I mean, for me, it's difficult because it's not, I mean, it's not really, I don't think of it as a negative thing or I mean, I only see it as a positive.
Yeah.
Right. Because there was a period of my life, you know, for a couple of years where one of the three artists I was listening to was Mac Miller. You know, there's a period of my life for a while where like one of the only artists I was listening to was Frank. So those influences, along with many other ones, are like really deeply embedded in like what I want to do musically and what I want to do artistically. So I really appreciate the comparison, but I would say like my biggest thing is that I always want to like be excited about going forward. I want to have my own artistic identity and like, yes, those are pieces of me, but it's not like, I hope that I'm stepping forward and taking a piece of what they did and like building upon that. You know what I mean? So like there's more to it than just like, oh, it sounds like, or it reminds me of, cause it's, I'm trying to build my own thing.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's important as well. Like when you said building your own like enterprise musically, it's such an important thing. And like for you, obviously taking a bit of a break and then now coming back with a track like Drifting, which is a really, really good track. A lot of people, if you ain't listened to it, listen, you're on the podcast right now.
Thank you.
I give you a break, go listen to it, come back. You know what I mean? Press play again. But it's just like a very cool track which you can vibe to. Like for me, over the last 3 weeks that it's been out, I've had it on repeat quite a bit and it's been very enjoyable. Do you know what I mean? And like, what phase are you in now? Because obviously we've had like 2020 was, it's been 2 years now in October, which has been 2 years since your first project, official project. Which got a lot of love and support as well. You know, a couple of them hitting, you know, millions of streams on Spotify. To now getting to this point now, which is going to be obviously a different version of you. You know, you've been growing, you've been developing over the last 2 years. So as we step into this new single, what version of you, what mindset are you in? Because I feel like the song's very like escapism. And like, obviously Drifting isn't a name in it, so escapism, Drifting.
Right.
But yeah, like where are you at?
I mean, it's interesting because I feel like I'm still very much like, I feel like I'm just, and like by just, I mean like the last 6 months, I'm just escaping that like COVID quarantine mentality.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I, in a weird way, I'm just like getting the gears turning again and I feel like I'm just getting moving. And I feel like it, in a dope way, the music, like the timing of the release is very, it's like, it's very timely because Drifting, like you kind of said, is about escapism, but it's also in a way, but it's also about like, I thought the idea of having a song about me chasing and feeling a lack of euphoria and just like wanting something more and feeling like something was missing in my life over that sample of like Nina Simone and her chasing euphoria and talking about how, I mean, also her story is just incredible in general, but I just thought that was such a dope way to combine where I was at in my life when I wrote it and where I wanted to be artistically, if that makes sense. Like just the combination of those two things and like the melancholy that her voice and her tone added to it, I felt like that was kind of like, that just hit me in a way that I was like, all right, this is something that I was trying to achieve a couple years ago, but I wasn't ready for it. You know what I mean?
So what makes you ready for it now then? Because I mean, when you kind of listen to people like Nina Simone, you listen to some of the classics,
it wouldn't
be classified as R&B, I guess, but soul music. Like what, how can you kind of develop that skill? Because I feel like that's difficult. I can't sing in it, so I'm asking you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I feel like something that, like a discussion that me and my manager had a while back that I always like refer back to when people ask me things like this is that like sometimes you digest different influences and you don't really get to choose when they manifest themselves in your music, right? So it's like another thing about the last, you know, year or year and a half that I've been listening to or that I've been doing is like I've really been like trying to grow the spectrum of what I've been listening to. So I've been listening to a lot of like 90s rock, like 80s rock,
okay,
Red Hot Chili Peppers, like Nirvana, like different types of stuff. And you know, at one point, you know, a couple years ago, I had really gotten into like that bag of just like listening to like College Dropout,
okay,
Late Registration, and I had just really started to, and from there, like it was a bounce, it was like a bounce pad. Like I from there went and studied a bunch of other things that were influenced, that it was influenced by,
yeah,
And it made me appreciate like the use of samples and like the context and like the meaning of how people crafted songs around samples and like how it wasn't just like, oh, this is just like a really dope sounding sample. There's actually like a meaning that it adds to the song. And like when they're telling a story in a song, the sample adds another layer to that story.
Yeah.
So I that's something that I kind of wanted to achieve, but, and I had tried it in different ways, but for some reason it just clicked with the song. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where you kind of can't tell when that influence is going to manifest itself until it does.
Yeah. I mean, does that mean that you like, do you like being hands-on with the production? Because I know obviously you play
100%.
You can play a few instruments, shall I be your talent guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's something that I grew into because I would say like around the time that the pandemic started, like I knew that I wanted to be a producer, and I knew that I wouldn't even say I knew. I felt like I had I was chasing like a taste of sound, like a certain taste of sounds and like a way of thing, like a production and things that I liked that I didn't know how to create myself.
Yeah.
So like working with different collaborators like Trackside who executive produced my first EP and are working with me on this one too. And other collaborators, songwriters, producers in LA, I feel like I've learned a lot along the way. And especially during quarantine, I like really locked myself in and I like really studied sounds and, you know, like rhythm and like things that I had already internalized because I played like a bunch of instruments when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But didn't know how to turn into a song sitting at a computer by myself.
Yeah.
Because I could always record my voice when I was younger doing things, but I didn't know how to like, always, the music didn't always like fall into place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could press the red button and do your thing. But it was like, obviously sculpting the track in exactly how you want it. And like sometimes probably maybe someone was trying to like say, oh, it needs to sound like this. And then you might not be able to translate that onto the page.
Exactly.
I had the same issue, but I never cracked it, but.
Right. And and like, you kind of know, you start by knowing where you want to direct things. And then I think the next step is like figuring out how to get it there yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously it doesn't mean you got to take it all the way there yourself, but being able to say like, all right, these are some drums, like these are some chords, these are some textures, this is like a pattern that I really like and I appreciate and it gives me an emotion that I want to chase. Cool, how do we take this to the next level? Then you go to the song and it's like, so I like building that out was like the first step of that process for me figuring that out. And quarantine just gave me the space to figure that out by myself.
I mean that's perfect, to be fair, because I mean for quarantine, were you in LA? Were you in Boston?
I was in Boston.
Okay. So
we could just I was talk. On an island by myself in Boston because there's not a lot of music people that I know out there in Boston.
Okay, that's tough. Yeah, because like obviously I'm not gonna like Boston. The only thing I know from Boston is the Celtics, man. Shout out Jason Tatum. But like, is that a musical city or is it like, you know, when you say you're on an island?
It is. It's such a musical city because, you know, actually Berklee is there. Like Berklee College of Music is there. There's a lot. I went to Berklee actually for a semester or two.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really talented musicians there. But for me, just in like my community of producers, songwriters, and people that I was comfortable and familiar working with, I didn't have anybody in Boston. Everybody I knew was either in New York or LA. So, so at that time I had just been really trying to dial in myself how to build production, and how to like write songs with guitar or starting with guitar and keys and then build it out from there.
Yeah. I mean, that's important, man, because I think it gave a lot of people time to either reset themselves or really work on their craft. Other people just sat in the house and played Warzone.
I mean, that's a craft too.
I mean, you can't make money off that craft. Well, you can technically, but really and truly, let's be real. The people who are good at it are good at it. We ain't. So move in it. But I mean, for you now then, with that evolution and you get into, I guess now maybe an EP, another EP or a project, does that, with all the skills that you've learned, make you want to executive produce this one now? Or would you still kind of leave it in the hands of someone else and you kind of just make finishing touches on it?
For sure. I would say I'm definitely still like artistically, my ambitions are growing. I feel like every time I achieve something, I realize, okay, this is dope. I kind of feel like I have a little bit more of a grasp on this. How can I expand my reach in this direction? But I'm cautious about doing that too quickly because, you know, collaboration is a very important thing. So at some point in the future, hopefully, but at some point in the future, you know.
I said yes or no. It's fine. Well, we could talk about collabs at least as well, because for so far from the catalogue of music that's out there, we haven't really got any features yet.
Right.
And it's been 2020, 2021, 2022. It's been three years, 2 years, whatever you want to call it, right? So is that something that you're being very selective on as well? Because I'm sure there must be loads of people probably like trying to come through in the DMs like and say, look, I want to work with you, or even maybe label might want to say, look, I think it'd be a good placement if you work with this person, you could rise together, et cetera, et cetera. So like, are you being selective, or are you open to it and you're just waiting for the right time? I feel that's the media way of saying that's the correct way, but.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I'm definitely open to it, and it's not that it's something that I don't want to do. I would just say, like, when we talk about like storytelling and the stories that I'm trying to tell, I feel like something that I really thought about in the process of making this music was like, I'm telling a story about isolation and about like growth and, yeah, and about like being super, super introspective and like thoughtful about myself and where I was and where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And when I thought about it, I just didn't think it made sense at the time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it won't make sense, you know, soon.
Yeah.
I just felt like for right and during this round of music, it didn't really make sense, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's important to kind of know where you're at, because, you know what I mean? Because for you, personality type, would you say you're more introverted, extroverted?
It's weird, man. It's weird. Sometimes I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I feel like it depends on where I'm at and who I'm with.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear it. I'm the same. Certain times it's like, you're right, yeah, how you doing? Like, I want to talk to you right now.
Other times
you're super energetic. But I think it's the comfortability around certain people, though.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's some people that you can automatically see your good vibes. And there's other people you're like, I don't want to be around you right now. See you later. So, I mean, it's important that all of this is coming through in the music. And now let's go back a little bit. Let's go to the Berklee days. Because they're, again, an important foundation for you. And you can play what? Piano, violin as well?
So when I was younger, I used to play violin. Like,
you can still play it now.
Violin was like the first instrument I played ever. And I was like, I think like probably, I was super, super young. I don't remember, like maybe like 7 or 8 or 10 or something, like around that age, like when I started playing violin. And I don't remember exactly how, but I just remember that being kind of a launch pad for me, like getting into other things.
Yeah.
Wanting to write songs, you know. My grandfather got me my first keyboard, and on that keyboard I just like wanted to write songs, and I wanted to like learn how to play songs that I liked. And so that was kind of like the butt of my musicality.
Yeah.
And then from there, yeah, like I just started to play like a bunch of different random stuff. Like I picked up drums at one point, I picked up guitar, which I still play.
Yeah.
Still play keys. I played French horn, I played like flute, clarinet.
This is wild.
Yeah. I mean, I just like, I felt like for me, like in middle school and like high school, that was my way of like challenging myself. Cause it was like, okay, cool, if you can figure this out to a certain degree and then like pick up another one. Like that was like, you know, kids would play like video games. I never really played video games like that when I was a kid, you know. I didn't really play basketball. Yeah, I wasn't really athletic. So that was me kind of like, that was my sport, you know.
Listen, to be fair, like, I don't know if I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
The video, missing out on the video games, especially as a teenager, is wild at the same time.
Oh, I didn't miss out. I got into that later on.
Okay, but, so what you play? What's your game?
Call of Duty.
So Call of Duty, isn't it?
Yeah, but that was like very late. Like I was a late bloomer in that sense, because I didn't really experience that when I was younger.
Okay,
COVID got me into video games.
Yeah. See, we spoke about it straight away here at the beginning of the podcast. So
yeah,
I mean, to be fair, I ain't got the reaction time anymore for that. You know, I can't even lie to you guys.
You gotta keep up, compete with the youngest.
I gave up. See me. I was back in Fortnite a couple years ago. I gave up with my shooting games, man. I can't do it no more. But like, obviously, with learning and challenging yourself like that, I guess some people's mentality would be, I've learned all this stuff, I've clocked it, I've done everything I need to do in that realm. But like, how do you kind of keep yourself focused and challenged when you're dealing with new things? Or are you someone that likes to go out and try the unknown? Or do you know when to kind of say, let me lock in and stay in this space for a while, develop that, and then move on?
I think it's really like, it's kind of hard for me to like explain, because or articulate, because it's kind of just following like inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, like I can't tell you why, like playing instruments or something that was like really inspiring to me.
Yeah.
And when I saw like a Stevie Wonder at the keys and like singing, and like his songs felt the way it made me feel, the way that they seemed to make everybody else feel, and everybody connected to them the way that they did. And you know, like Sly and the Family Stone, like in you know, just like seeing great musicians at like the intersection of art, music, and storytelling, like that was always really special to me. So I don't know what it is behind that that like made me want to chase after that, but I found that playing instruments was a gateway to that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I don't know that it was the thing I wanted to do, but it was something that I knew I needed to do in order to get me to where I wanted to be.
100%.
Yeah.
So I mean, basically during a live show now, I need to see all these instruments out.
Yeah.
I need to see you just jumping across each one.
It's
just
coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, listen, just, as long as the stamina's on point, you know, you will be there. Like, he's playing the instrument well, but he's not singing right now.
Yeah.
But like, let's talk about the London show, actually. So it's going to be in London Bridge. By the time this podcast comes out, it might already have happened. Mm. It might not have. It might be on the evening of. If not, it was a week ago.
Right.
So, I mean, what do you expect from London fans? Because obviously everyone like always has a rep. When you go to a different place, everyone says, oh, the fans are like this, the fans are like that. What have you heard about the London fans?
I just heard that they appreciate music. I just heard that like there's gonna be like it's a really dope R&B showcase, and that like the people that show up to the showcase really show up to appreciate the music, and that's why I'm like really excited to do it, you know. And I mean, it's only my second show ever, so it's kind of yeah, I'm a little nervous, but you know, I'm mostly excited about like going into it and just again like playing some new music, playing some old music, and just kind of like feeling out what the reaction is.
Yeah, I mean, I can say from going to quite a few shows in my time, everyone just likes the vibe. If you got like I went to literally a show last week, and it was again someone relatively new on the scene, but it was a small venue, maybe like 50 people venue, but she was just telling us about how she prefers like another part of the UK over London. That's it. And I was like, all right, cool. You don't have to say it too much. Say it a bit too happy. But people just want a vibe with it. And that's kind of what you want. Do you know what I mean? And I think like a lot of the time, a lot of people in London, they're just here for the vibes. And I feel like the music that you provide is very vibey, but we like good context as well. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like for you now, moving beyond this trip to London, like, I'm pretty, you only staying in London, or are you going across around the UK? Just London?
Just London.
Just London. That's where you need to be, Jacob. Shout out to the UK. Yeah, like, when you go back to LA, what's the plan? Like, are you going to lock in again? Or
Yeah. I mean, at some point soon, I'm gonna get back into like making music again and really trying to like extend myself again artistically, because I feel like the other dope thing about like making music and trying to figure out what I wanted to do next was like not only working on the music, but when you make the music, you got to work on the visuals. You got to like figure out that stuff. So that's been another like tough but like dope part of doing it is just like it's. My strength has always been, I feel like, with the music, and so like with the other stuff and the visuals and the videos, I kind of get to like play around, and that's again something that's really exciting to me now, because I feel like in a weird way the instruments and the visuals kind of swap places, where now I see that as like the shiny toy of like, okay, I gotta figure this out. Like, I gotta figure out how to tell a story in a unique way, you know, because I liked movies when I grew up.
Yeah.
My family was, you know, avid like movie watchers. They love movies. So for me, that's the next thing that I want to like really figure out and just like get really, really good at.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, this might be super technical, but like when you're writing songs, can you see the music video in front of you at the same time?
Nah, man. And you know what? I'm actually jealous of everybody that says they can do that.
Yeah.
Because for me, it like I really have to think about it, because I think when I write music, I write from such a just place of raw emotion that I'm not really thinking about that I'm not really thinking too far ahead.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't really see like a whole like set. I don't see a whole visual. I don't see like what's happening. No, I don't see none of that.
Yeah. To be fair, I feel like that will come though.
Yeah.
I think the more music you drop, especially if you've got like a song that is an even more personal story, which is like maybe you're not name dropping exact people or things, but like, you know the story and you're recollecting it through song,
yeah, yeah,
then things will unfold. But then obviously you don't want to be right. using like for like models, and certain people be messaging you, and then
exactly.
But I mean, like, as we kind of come to the end of the podcast right now, yeah, what else have you got going on in your life, man? Like, you wanna, that you might potentially want to share with the people?
It's just music. It's just like, I'm really, right now I'm just really focused and excited to share the music and like to roll it out and get people's reaction again, because I took such a break from Doctor My Eyes, and just kind of, I feel like Drifting was like a dope first foot forward, but I can't wait for people to hear this, what's coming next, because I really, you know, with the collaborators that I worked on the music with, I worked really hard on it, so. And I'm just excited to see what everybody else feels about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because we have got a few, like the two singles post EP in 2020, and now people are going to be able to embark on a journey. Are you looking to consistently drop now, or are we getting we don't get another song a year, innit? You can't be starving can't be starving people like that, you know.
No, definitely, it's definitely more of a steady flow coming of music, and I'm excited for that too, because it's, again, like, I took a break because I really wanted to figure out what I wanted to say, but I feel like I figured that out, so
yeah. I mean that's the best part, because I feel like, just chatting to you now for the last like 20 minutes, I feel like you really got like your mind set on where you want to go, and I feel like things are going to fall into place nicely. So listen, I'm here for it. I'm here for the vibes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm gonna be enjoying the music as and when it drops as well. And it's good that, you know, it's good that you're with the label as well, because the label can help push. Obviously, there's probably, in this day and age, there's so many people that probably scream it's better to stay independent. So, are you happy to, like, obviously now that you're with the, you know, the choice that you've made?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm in a very like fortunate position, and I feel like, if you work with people that are creatives themselves and also appreciate creatives, it's a very nurturing environment.
Yeah.
And I feel like from in my situation where I started, and based on what I wanted to learn, I feel like I was handed the people that I needed to be handed at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited moving forward about the environment, you know.
Yeah, and that's it, people. That's all you need to know. That's all we got time for right about now, because we could go on to have a longer conversations, but you need to go and listen to the music, you know what I'm saying? And then we could do this when you come next time to London, and then there'll be a next evolution to the story.
Absolutely.
So where can people find you, man? What's the handles?
On Instagram, Kamari Music. On Twitter, Kamari. And I think that's it. I don't have TikTok. I don't have...
Why you got TikTok? I'm not gonna lie, yeah. I haven't got TikTok in it. But I feel like for musicians especially, you gotta be... I know you have to do a challenge. You have to do a drifting challenge. But you have to...
I feel like when I have a way to utilize the platform that makes sense for me, maybe.
I guess, because I know there was a stage in your career, and I said goodbye to everyone, but we're still continuing. Sorry, people, you have to listen a bit longer.
Yeah.
But you were doing covers. He's like, you should have ended the interview.
Yeah, you should have ended the interview. It was definitely a learning experience. I mean, again, that was a part of the time where I feel like I just was figuring out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So.
Different time.
Now I know what I want to do.
No more covers, basically. The one thing I will say though, and I do like it, even when it like when people kind of get out of that phase, is when they do mashup songs. There was one girl I saw randomly on YouTube doing like a breakdown of two like UK R&B singles, and it was only coming up as a YouTube advert, and I was trying to find it for the longest time because it worked, but you can't find it. So sometimes I feel like covers are not. I know everyone looks at it like covers are the way to kind of get noticed, to get signed, and then you kind of release your own stuff. I don't think covers are the worst thing in the world. You say they are, right?
I mean, you know, I think it just depends on what you want to do. I think at that time I didn't know what kind of artist I wanted to be, because I didn't know yet what artists I would appreciate, you know, or what I would end up appreciate. And the more I grew into and studied people's artistry, the way they carried themselves, the stories that they told, I just felt like it didn't make sense. And so,
the thing is, the more you're saying this stuff, I'm just like, I'm really looking forward to the more music that comes out, because it just sounds well orchestrated. and it sounds well thought through. And I like the humility as well. The humility is too good too.
I hope so.
Like at the end of the day, like a lot of time we're in this age where people are just chucking out songs now. Mm-hmm. And even the R&B records, some of them sound emotive, but others just sound like just bait R&B tunes. It's like,
I mean, it's interesting because I feel like we just live in such a time right now where, like, because of the internet and because of how fast everything moves and how fast the culture moves, I feel like it's just, it becomes really easy to feel the pressure to put out content, quote unquote content, or to do things or to exploit, you know, that talent.
Yeah.
The way that other people expect you to, in order to compete with other people in that environment.
Yeah.
And I feel like, back to the TikTok thing, that's one of the reasons why I don't feel that, you know, because I feel like I appreciate the ability to grow in an incubator and to kind of like to really look at the things that in the artists and like, you know, go to museums and like watch movies and like just learn about things that you don't necessarily get to be as thoughtful about if you are just putting out stuff, you know. True. So but I feel like we live in a time where it's just so easy to listen to the same things because of the algorithm is feeding that it's algorithm feeding it to you, you know. So, you know, similarly to what I was just talking about, I just feel like it's really important to just go back and like listen to old music and to listen to what inspired your parents and like what they were playing around the house when, you know, when you were a kid, or, you know, like what made you get into music when you were a kid, or like inspired the rappers that you listen to or the writers that you listen to, or just anything, like just like your favorites, go study what they study, because that's you'll find new inspiration there, and then you go layer by layer and you'll keep cracking it open, you know.
That's the thing, I was literally, as you said it before, I'm about to say it as well, you said about the rock that you were listening to as like, I mean, sometimes I'll watch like Genius Deconstructed or I watch something else and you'll literally see them start talking about a reference to something you wouldn't expect them to listen to, because they're just making like maybe like hip hop or trap music or whatever. Yeah. But they're talking about some 1970s rock band that they've flipped and it sounds so different. Do you know what I mean? I mean, have you heard Burna Boy's Last?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so obviously that's from Toni Braxton.
Mm.
You kind of wouldn't expect that. And even like from our side, because like obviously the UK has been more connected to Afrobeats, I think, for longer than Americans have.
Right.
But even that's been a bit of a, so that was a surprise for a lot of people. But then it seemed to have, it crossed over and it allowed.
In a crazy way.
Yeah, like.
In a crazy way.
Yeah, like it became one of the songs of the summer, if not the song of the summer, especially in the UK as well. Like, and I feel you need to be diverse with your, if you want to be a great artist, you have to be diverse with your production style, with your influences. Because if you're a rapper right now in 2022, obviously I know you're a singer, but if you rap, for example, sorry, hip hop, and you just say your only influences are Young Thug, Gunna, Lil Baby,
right,
and Lil Durk, we know what you're going to sound like.
I mean, when I really dug into it, I learned that like some of my greatest influences, they were listening to a lot of stuff that I wasn't listening to, and it made a lot of sense as to the pieces that I was missing, because there's like a rawness, like the further layer, like we were talking about layers, like the deeper you go in those layers, the more raw it is. Like, you know, like some of my greatest influences, like listening to like Jody Mitchell, Jimi Hendrix, Portishead, like Incubus. Like, so I feel like the further you go and the further I went down that rabbit hole, the more and more I learned, and I was like, all right, I might not make an album that sounds exactly like this, like straight like this, but whatever I do is gonna be a culmination of the things that I liked from these albums. And I think that, like I said, that's a really dope thing about like music and art, or just, you know, like anything in general, is that you really have a choice in this shit. Like you can really go and you can dig as deep as you want to.
Yeah.
And you can make something that is completely different yet inspired by all of them. So, you know, back to your point about like music sounding the same. I just think we like as artists, we just have the responsibility to do that, you know, like it's kind of like I feel the same about movies. Like there's so many movies that are coming out that I feel like are plot wise things that we've already seen.
Facts.
And you know, I feel like more inclined to go back and watch movies that I watched when I was a kid, that my or hit my parents up and be like, what movies were you watching when you were a kid? What were your favorite movies? Because those are the movies that were inspiring the people that are making movies now, you know.
Facts. I mean, to be fair, like For film, I'm shaky in it, because I used to say to my mum especially, any film made before 1990 was trash.
Really?
I don't agree with that now.
I was young,
I was stupid. Do you know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say, but I used to feel that way too until I really dug into it, you know?
Yeah, because you need to look at the influences and see, like, for example, like Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho is such a, like, the shower scene is so iconic, and people have used iterations of that throughout horror films in the last 70 years since it's been made. And there's so many little different films that these directors have really studied. But like you said, I think we're in that age. I can't believe we've gone off this from TikTok, but just we've gone on for like, I'm worried. I haven't seen a film. Like, there's this film, Bodies, 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 that's coming out.
Okay.
And it's like a Gen Z film, right?
Oh, shit.
And like, I looked at the trailer in it, and I'm not Gen Z, I'm millennial in it. So I was like, okay, cool. When I'm seeing in the trailer, you've triggered me and all this, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, what's this film? Like, and I'm like, I'm still gonna go watch it when it comes up, because I'm interested in seeing like what the influences are in that. But I sometimes feel like people just throw out content for the sake of content and they don't think about it.
Yeah. And that's again, like, to bring that point back around, is like, I feel like you gotta be thoughtful, you know, like it's important to be thoughtful and to take care when you're putting out things that can have a positive impact on other people, you know, like when I listen to like the old Kid Cudi music and like, I just like the way in the Mac Miller, you mentioned Mac Miller too, like just some of the way that those artists made me feel when I was in a time that I needed that.
Yeah.
That's dope. You know, like if I can make somebody feel that way, or somebody feel like they can make somebody else feel that way, that's the reason you do it. Yeah.
So again, super deep emotion. Are you an emotional person? I don't mean don't skate around it.
It's, I mean, we all are, you know.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm a savage.
I mean, we all are. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, I guess R&B artists have always had that stigma, innit? Like,
exactly.
Of being like not super soft. Cause I wouldn't say that, because I've seen stories about R&B artists doing a bad thing. I'm like, all right, relax. Mm-hmm. But like, there's always been that stigma of, you know, R&B artists are more maybe not like. I'm trying to what's the word? Empathetic, not empathetic. Empath. That kind of. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm trying to go with it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that makes a big difference in music, and I guess because
I think most music lovers are though, because music is such an emotive thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you can't not empathize with somebody if you're listening to an album and you're like, damn, like that shit like really made me feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
You know, because it's really about like that, and that's why I love like good albums and artists that like really take the time to make it feel like every song is a museum of a thought that they had or a place that they were in, like mentally or situation, like Confessions, like J. Cole's, like Forest Hill Drive, you know what I mean? Like,
I was literally gonna say Confessions as well,
like even like Billy Joel, like The Stranger. It's like those are really like, those are albums that like you listen to and you're like, okay, I really, even if it's not music that I would make myself, I really feel where you're at, like you know what I mean? I can kind of connect to it even if I didn't live exactly what you live.
Yeah.
So I feel like you kind of got to be like an empath to appreciate music in that way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that now technically that means I'm an empath. Wow.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that.
There you go.
Just made it explicit. I ain't telling no one. If you're listening, I ain't no empath. But I feel like we've come to the point now. I feel like we've gone through, you know, I don't feel like I've grilled you, but I feel like we've gone into, you know, we've had a good conversation.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what else you do, what else you drop. And are we getting a music video for Drifting at some stage?
Hopefully.
Please, yes. I was hoping the answer was going to be yes. Yeah. I said hopefully, yes.
Hopefully.
You know what I mean?
If I got anything to say about it. Listen, no, hopefully.
Listen, the right people that are listening to this, I know you're listening, do the right thing. That's what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean?
Do the right thing.
Because even that, again, it sounds like I'm about to wrap this up and like find something else. Like, Drifting reminds me of Novocaine. Just because of the drug reference in there and the Drifting away and, you know, stuff like that. Is that something that's been brought up, or was that conscious, or?
It wasn't. I think the nature of I think part of that is just a culmination of A, the influences, and B, the emotion that the headspace that I was in. So, I mean, I could see that, right? Like, I think, just a combination of the emotion and the headspace that I was in, plus being at a time where that like was very sonically influential to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, let him continue.
Keep dropping
the bangers, man. Do you know what I mean? And obviously the London show. If this comes up before, I need to try and slide through and come to the show.
Hopefully, do it.
Yeah, yeah, because I want to hear
Wednesday night,
and if not, it was last Wednesday. But either way, it was Wednesday the 12th of October, because you might be listening in 2023, 24, 25.
Right.
It was Wednesday the 12th of October, 2022. Listen, come on, smash it. But yeah, man, appreciate you for joining the podcast today. And yeah, man, hopefully catch you soon.
Thank you, man, for having me. I appreciate it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.